Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight it is a pleasure to welcome back to our studios the artistic director of the Mystic River Chorale, Frank Martignetti, is here. Welcome back, Frank.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you.
Nice to have you back once again, and we'll get to catch up on all the wonderful things that have been happening with the Mystic River Chorale. And starting off with a good season last year, I presume?
It was a great season. Really, really, really terrific. Terrific musically, terrific in terms of people.
And people is a good thing to have in a chorale.
It definitely is. And we're actually, we have 41 members right now, which is a new high in the last decade. So it's a wonderful thing. And we believe that part of that is, in addition to the wonderful personalities we have, it's the great repertoire we're doing, including this next concert.
I'm sure that makes a big difference. I know that groups... people that like to sing want to do music they particularly enjoy, and probably more importantly, do it with talented people that they enjoy. So it's a tribute to you, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Well, there you go. We have a concert coming up very soon, next week, January 15th, and that's going to be where?
It's going to be at our usual January home, which is lovely Harkness Chapel at Connecticut College in New London.
Connecticut College, and what time of day?
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock, all right. So if you'd like information on that, you can go to the website, which is...
MysticRiverChorale.org.
All right, that's pretty easy to remember, MysticRiverChorale.org.
It just rolls off the tongue.
There you go. And this year, we're featuring what kind of music?
This year is very special. We're doing what I believe to be the regional premiere of... a wonderful piece, Antonin Dvorak's Requiem. It's seldom performed in the United States. It's epic. It's 95 minutes long.
Wow.
It's big. It's bold. And it is very rarely done.
Hmm.
Now, in 2014, this German musicologist made a chamber orchestra version, which has since been performed at the Berkshire Choral Festival in Massachusetts, and we're bringing it to the Mystic area this next weekend. So it has an 18-piece orchestra and the chorale singing this masterpiece, Dvorak's Requiem.
So an 18-piece orchestra along with the over 40 singers, that's going to be quite impressive. And, I mean, Harkness Chapel is not Radio City Music Hall. It's not that big, right? I mean, it's a nice, intimate setting.
It's wonderful. It seats about 300 people.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll fill it up. That's the plan.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And in the unlikely event we have a snowstorm, we do it the Monday night after, January 16th at 7 p.m. That's plan B if there's awful weather.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be awful weather, so we'll leave it at that for now. That everything goes according to plan. What would be our first piece of music you brought for us today?
Well, we're going to hear only the Requiem today because it's so massive and it's so wonderful and it is so rarely heard and known. Wanted the listeners to be able to get a sense of this masterpiece. We're starting with the Confutatis Maledictis, which is a vivid, vivid, vivid piece of this Requiem. And you get to hear the bass section shining at the beginning, which is a wonderful thing as a bass. You know, we like that.
Of course, you got to have the bass predominant.
Yeah, and the sweeping drama and the strings. Just a wonderful way to begin our broadcast.
Here we go.
Oh,
Now, Dvorak is a very well-known name to our listeners, but in the world of music, sometimes it's not Mozart, it's not Beethoven. Where would this fall as far as you being a music expert? Is he, you know, kind of high on the list, not as well regarded, not as popular, or what?
I would place him very high, you know, very, very high. Not as innovative as some people, but a fine, amazing craftsman and artist. Mm-hmm. He's got an interesting history with the United States, you know, because he, as you know, he lived here for a short time.
Right.
He was director of the National Conservatory of Music in New York City for 3 years. And while he was here, he wrote the Symphony No. 9 from the New World, which was inspired by American folk melodies. And we all know, you know, dee-dum-dum, dee-dum-dum, of course, has persevered. People actually think it's a folk tune, which I guess is the best sign of success you could hope for as a composer.
Right. Yeah.
People assume it was a folk tune. And I just learned that when he was director of the National Conservatory, he demanded that the board of directors provide free admission to all black students because he felt they had a unique American musical voice that was not... that couldn't access training and education and needed to be heard.
Now, this is like 100 years ago, right?
We're talking about 19, let's see, not even. When was he here?
Wasn't he the end of the 1800s?
Yeah, and he was here, in the late 1890s.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So very forward-thinking for his time.
Kind of ahead of his time.
Yeah, and it's one of the oldest, you know, questions in American classical music is looking for the first great American composer.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that great American talent was coming from the unique fusion of the European and African elements that you see in African-American music, which, of course, is later where jazz comes from.
There you go. And maybe even barbershop quartets.
Exactly.
Actually have a little history from there. The music is played a lot on our station. It's a popular, he is a popular composer. Not used too much in other places, or is it?
I mean, everybody knows the Ninth Symphony. You know, everybody knows the Ninth Symphony. Some folks know the Stabat Mater. This piece was actually written because he knew these massive choirs in England would love to perform it. I mean, he had a big following in England.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned today that he was so popular in Vienna that the train that goes from Prague to Vienna is named the Antonín Dvořák train to this very day.
Well, there you go. See, that's the height of success. You have a train named after you.
Yeah, well, what more could you ask for?
Right.
So, you know, a very successful composer that we think of as kind of a one-hit wonder, but... everyone I've brought this piece up to says, oh, you're doing it? I don't know it. That's so exciting. I can't wait to hear it. So I hope all of our listeners will be there and ready to hear this piece that they may have never heard before in their lives.
All right. Well, we have the next piece is a little bit long, so we want to get it in before our first break. Tell us about it.
This is the opening of the Requiem, and the wonderful thing about it is this piece, as my accompanist, my colleague Frank Zellini, says, the piece is so perfect. So much of its DNA is just baked into the opening. And the piece is going to begin with this lovely motive. Dee-dum-da-dum-dee. And you're going to hear that throughout the Requiem. It just keeps coming back in increasingly complex and sophisticated ways. And it's kind of the germ or the seed of the whole piece.
All right. We will listen to that, then take a short break, and be back with more of the Mystic River Chorale and Frank Martinetti.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with the artistic director of the Mystic River Chorale, and they will be doing a performance next Sunday, January 15th, at Harkness Chapel at Connecticut College. 3 o'clock, I believe, Frank?
That's correct.
All right. So if you'd like to get tickets, you can go to mysticriverchorale.org and get information. And tickets are available online or at the door?
They can be reserved online. They can be reserved at the door. Okay. People can also call 860-460-1487 for tickets.
Okay. So make the phone call. Do it the old-fashioned way. I still have one of those crank phones, you know, the, on my wall in my home.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get rid of it. We're talking about Dvorak, and that's the concert will be the Requiem. And you mentioned just briefly in that first segment something about your accompanist. I'm sure there's lots of people it takes to help put this performance together, right?
Definitely. We have my colleague, our accompanist, Frank Zellini, who's organist and director of music at St. Mary Church in Milford, Connecticut. And he's a good colleague and friend, and he's made it possible for us to do this. He's actually able to just sing this concert because there's no organ part in this Requiem, which is kind of unique. So he will be singing with us, which is wonderful. And we have our board of directors that work so hard to coordinate all the raising of money and the advertising and the publicity and the infrastructure needed to support this. And, of course, all of our sponsors and advertisers without whom we could not do this. Every fall it's a little scary in that you commit to spending all this money on an orchestra and then you have to go out and raise it once you've already committed to it. So
there you go,
we're
right?
grateful and to all of our community that supports us.
And a substantial size orchestra. You're talking, what, about 15 pieces?
Yeah, 18 pieces 18 this time.
Pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, it so is. that's a big piece to bite off, but I'm sure that the local community go out and support Sunday, January 15th. They'd like to have a sellout. That's always nice to have there.
Always nice to have. I really believe that community choirs make the region a better place to live. You know, there's opportunities to sing, opportunities to hear wonderful music. It just adds so much to the community, so we hope people will recognize that and come out and support us.
All right, let's get back to the music, and what do you have for us next?
We're going to go to the Blood and Guts and Hellfire part of the Requiem, of course, the Dies Irae, which is a lot of ways the most fun part. Last year, we did Foray's Requiem, which lacks the Dies Irae. Foray chose to focus on the themes of light and consolation and peace and less on the more dramatic parts of the Requiem. But this is a nice, really passionate Dies Irae. And the Dies Irae is a medieval sequence. It's a medieval poem talking about the Day of Judgment, the final judgment, the end of the world. And Dvorak uses this music you're about to hear at the beginning of this long sequence and again at the end, like two pillars holding up the entire suite.
Oh,
Frank, I'm always interested when I speak to artistic directors or music directors or directors of shows, where the inspiration comes from as to what to do next. At some point in time, whether this was 5 years ago, you said, well, 5 years from now, I think I'd like to do this when the group is ready. Or is it something that happens, you know, let's do this next week?
We try to be 18 months to 2 years out in planning the music. But that being said, I've had to pick music for the spring concert very quickly, and I'm still working on that. So I have to have a lot of work to do in the next week, okay. And it's making my chorus manager very nervous. But I find it's going to be a variety of just different pieces that I think would be fun to do and good to do for audience and choir alike. But this, I learned this piece because at the church in New York City where I'm music director, my colleague programmed excerpts from this with orchestra for Good Friday 2015. Mm-hmm. So we sang a bit of it, and learning about this new orchestration, which I didn't know about, which takes the orchestra from, 80 pieces to 18, makes it possible to do this.
Sure, makes it feasible, yeah.
I fell in love with the piece and said, well, we had a taste of it on Good Friday 2015, and we have to do this. And mm-hmm. brought it to the board, and they were very pleased to hear it. And it's something that
now some people might be listening and saying, wait a minute, Mystic River Chorale is in Mystic, Connecticut, and you're the director in New York. Now those two places, I mean, they're not worlds apart, but they're hours apart.
They are. I'm very lucky in that I live in New Haven, and I can get to my full time position at the University of Bridgeport. Very easily, I can get to Mystic for rehearsal fairly easily, and I can get into the city for church, which is not every Sunday, but half the time, two Sundays a month, fairly easily. But I don't recommend my lifestyle to anyone, even though I love it, and I'm so thrilled that I get to do all of it.
Sound like a busy guy. All right, let's get back to the presentation, and what's next?
Well, our next movement is the Recordare, which features the solo quartet. So I wanted to use this opportunity to talk about our wonderful soloists. We're very lucky in Mystic that we can draw soloists from New York, from Boston, from Providence, from Hartford, all over the Northeast. We can get really mm-hmm. fine people that want to come sing with us, which is sure. just terrific. So our soprano soloist is Rhode Island's own Claire Stottmuller, and she's really wonderful. I'm looking forward to working with her. She made her Carnegie Hall debut on the Beethoven Missa Solemnis. She has been very active throughout New England and New York, and it really will be wonderful to work with her at last. We've been talking about working together for a couple of years. And our alto and tenor soloists are a married couple, Daniel and Sybil Juarez, who I know from New Haven. And they're just terrific singers, and it'll be great to... we never actually worked together. I've known them for a dozen years or more. We've never gotten to work together, and now's the time, and they'll sound great. And our bass is someone new to me, Laurentiu Rotaru, who I hired because he's wonderful and because he's sung this piece before. So we're lucky to have this dynamic quartet of really rich, warm, full voices to mm-hmm. sing what you're about to hear and the rest of this wonderful piece.
All right, and we are about to hear what portion of it before we take our next break?
The Recordare.
Amen.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with the Mystic River Chorale Artistic Director, Frank Martinetti, and we've been talking about their presentation at Harkness Chapel, Connecticut College, next Sunday, January 15th, 3 o'clock, and the Dvorak Requiem. And then, Frank, you can talk about the spring concert you're going to have, too. I just want to mention that, get that on everybody's mind. That's going to be sometime in, is it April?
It is. It's going to be Sunday, April 30th at Mystic Congregational Church, right in the heart of beautiful downtown Mystic. Okay. And that will feature the chorale and Frank Salini on piano and myself.
And lots of musical choices that you're still deciding on.
That's correct. That's correct. I'm threatening the board to call the concert Cool Stuff I Felt Like Doing.
Sounds like a great name. I think I'd like to hear that. If people are interested in this concert coming up next week, there's still opportunity to get some tickets before it's sold out. You can do that by going to mysticriverchorale.org. Or they have a phone number, which is
860-460-1487.
All right, there you go. Ways to get information and or tickets. And frequently is sold out, so don't delay much longer. We want to get everybody in that wants to see it. And Frank, we've listened to a lot of music today, and most of it in its entirety, those pieces. So we ran a little bit long on the first two segments, so we'll make up for it now. Just by talking about this last piece of music you have for us, and anything else you'd like to say about the concert coming up.
Well, again, I'd just like to say I really hope that you'll be able to join us for this unique and really exquisite piece of music. You won't regret it. You really won't. It's going to be just I'm really excited about this one even more than usual for some reason. It really is just a great piece. And one of the great things about a piece like this that's so long and big and epic is not only is it massive and majestic and broad, it's also delicate and quiet. And this last piece we're going to hear is the Pia Jesu. And if you know the Fauré Requiem, has a very famous setting of the Pia Jesu where it's just the soprano soloist. Here, it's the choir and a tiny portion of the orchestra. Much of it is almost a cappella. And in the choir, you've got no soprano section.
Really?
So you've got this, you know, warm alto tenor bass sound that really takes on a whole different cast without the soprano section. And speaking of soprano section and every section, we are always auditioning new singers for spring semester and for next fall. And people could contact us via our website to audition for the spring. We're doing that on Monday, January 30th and Monday, February 6th.
And that's at the church?
That's at Union Baptist Church in Mystic where we rehearse.
Okay. Union Baptist Church was a different place. We don't want to confuse everyone.
That's
Union
right.
Baptist Church in Mystic. And that's going to be two Mondays in a row.
Yeah, auditions for spring semester for new members. I'm very proud of the chorale because we really do an excellent job. And we welcome people from a variety of prior experiences and backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that's something that not every choral group can say, that they really, you know, produce very high level of performance while being extremely accessible. And that's kind of a unique blend that I'm personally very proud of.
And they
so
don't
consider
have to
singing
live,
with us.
They don't have to live anywhere in particular. They don't have to be in Mystic, obviously. You can live different places, right?
Yeah, I think we draw from 12 different towns.
12 towns.
In Rhode Island and southeastern Connecticut. So people are most welcome. We actually have two members. We have a member. We have one member from Bridgeport, one member from New Haven right now.
Wow.
In addition to me. So we have some people coming from quite far away to sing with us because they're that wonderful and the experience is that wonderful.
Well, that's great. All right. We wish you all the best and break a leg, as they say, on your concert.
And, thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Let's listen to this last piece. And once again, this piece is where in the program?
The Pia Jesu, late in the Requiem, one of the last movements. And it's this just quiet, exquisite call for sweet Jesus to grant them eternal rest.
All right. And the rest of you, see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Mike.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.